Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was invited to a Sabbath meal by the ruler of the local Pharisees as we join the gospel reading today. At the meal, Jesus shocks his hosts by doing work on the Sabbath and healing a man with dropsy or severe edema or water retention. And then he proceeds to tell his hosts that the humbled, the least in the kingdom, will be given the exalted place by God. Jesus even tells his hosts to invite people to their Sabbath meal from then on who cannot repay them back: the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and by implication, the man with dropsy. In response, one of the Pharisees calls out to Jesus at the beginning of the gospel reading, "Blessed is he who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Now, to eat bread in the kingdom is a Hebraism of the time. The Pharisee is saying, "Oh, sure, Jesus, at the great feast, when the Messiah comes to save and restore Israel to a paradise on earth like we think he will, everyone will then be blessed." He expresses their expectations for the Messiah and the Messianic kingdom. Bread for everyone, then. The problem is that the Pharisee is being a little less than genuine. The poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, the dropsy man, the people who cannot repay with social invitations of their own, they can have their bread then, but now we do not really have to change our ways, us Pharisees. We pious Jews of all Jews will of course be blessed, and God can take care of those other people over there. We don't really care about them. We can go on chasing our seats at the head of the tables and making great show of our piety for ourselves and for God. Jesus, you're free to go on over there, chase the blind, the poor, the dropsy sufferers, if that's what you want to do. So this man says something that sounds very pious to appease Jesus, but he forgets God's invitation throughout the whole Old Testament. Invitations like we've heard today: "Come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed," says God's wisdom in the Proverbs. This invitation by the wisdom of Proverbs is for whoever is simple. Jesus calls them the humble. The Pharisees subscribe to the religion of human reason. Our reason is blinded by sin. The nature of that blindness is that the Pharisees could only see the sins and the faults of others. Those people over there, they're blind, lame, have dropsy, poor, are Gentiles, are unsuccessful in life, have no family, no friends, no social status. They must be real sinners. They must be on the outs with God. But the Pharisees could not see their own sin. They had an exaggerated opinion of themselves. They were devout. They were successful. They were prominent. They had status in society. They had the right bloodline and the right heritage. They practiced all sorts of religious rules and made sure everyone knew it. They were scandalized by the way Jesus treated their inferiors, exalting the humble. They assumed that since they were outwardly righteous, Jesus would acknowledge their status as well, but he does not. Instead, Jesus teaches them that they must become the equals of the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. They must give up their place at the head of the table and be willing to go and take the lesser place. They must confess that their material and social and political status does not bring them into, nor does it confirm their fellowship with God. They must reject every claim to God that is not by God's grace, his undeserved love, and by grace alone. They must, in a way, become poor, maimed, lame, and blind. They must despair of themselves. They must renounce everything in which they have placed their trust, and they must throw themselves entirely on the mercy of a loving God. Jesus pictures this by means of this parable. The man who gave the great supper is God the Father, who sent his Son into the world to be the Savior of sinners. The great supper is the gospel itself, the saving good news of the Savior of sinners who has come into the world, given over by the Father to save those who believe in him. Those who were invited and yet refused to come were the Pharisees and the other religious and political leaders of Israel who refused to acknowledge their sins and repent. They made excuses. They had more important things to do than to hear and believe the gospel. They regarded commerce, owning land, and marriage, the things that bring social prestige and show success in life that they thought would show God's favor, as more important than the divine service offered by Jesus. Ironically, we still have Christian preachers, so-called, who preach very similar things to this very day. And it appeals to our sinful hearts also to want to think this way. I would rather place my faith and trust in myself and in my works and the things the world offers than in something I don't think I need and is not so visible and tangible: the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. The servant in this story is Jesus. He is the suffering servant who, by bearing the sin of the world, served as the one single obedient representative of all humanity. He offered his service of obedience to the Father and thereby earned the authority to forgive sins here on earth. He offers the forgiveness and salvation freely to sinners in need. So he goes out. Come, all is ready. The poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, they are the dispossessed of Israel, the lowly sinners with nothing to offer God but their own brokenness, failure, and sin. But these do not fill up the banquet hall. There is yet more room. Those out in the highways and the hedges, these are the Gentiles, because in those days, only Gentiles put hedges around their fields. These were the unclean, those who were not God's people, outside of grace, dying in blindness. The Gentiles are compelled to come in. They knew they were undeserving, and so they would not come. They needed the compelling power of the gospel to persuade them to God's utter sincerity in providing them with such rich treasures. So the self-righteous and self-satisfied Pharisees who hear this parable not only despise those less fortunate than themselves, but they also despise the gracious teaching that came from Jesus. We sinners despise grace because we don't see our own need for it. We don't want to be lumped together with life's losers. We want our status determined by what we do, what we own, and what we produce. Our sinful flesh thinks that the affairs of this life come before the treasures of heaven. Our sinful flesh and the devil tell us not to take the time to listen to the heavenly doctrine of Jesus, or you can put it off and make time when you're ready. We reason, you know, it will all work out at the end. God will see that I've been a good person. But the parable says, you don't get to choose when you are ready. The banquet is scheduled. The food is prepared. Everything is ready. And the invitation sounds forth. You either go into the feast or you remain outside forever. There is no alternative. There is no third option. Those who don't have the time to eat and to drink the words of life that Jesus speaks will find themselves permanently locked outside the gates of God's kingdom. Jesus said, "For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper." So there is an urgency as Jesus calls out, "Come in that my house may be filled." Come, God wants you. The cross and resurrection of our Lord Jesus is God's gracious invitation to you. He is ready for the poor, the maimed, the blind, and the lame. He is ready for those who have spent their lives far away from him in the Gentile hedges and highways and byways of life. He invites everyone, the greatest and the least, always seeking, always calling, always inviting through the preaching of his gospel. Come, he says, all things are now ready. Come, you who want meaning for life. Come, you who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Come, you who stumble under the burden of sin and guilt. Come, you who are anxious and fearful. Come, you who mourn. Come, you who are looking for peace and fulfillment. Come, come. Blessed are those who eat this bread. No one goes away hungry. The bread of this banquet is the food of forgiveness and life. Peace of mind, peace of heart, peace of conscience in the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected. Don't be afraid that you will not be accepted. For the beloved Father, full of grace and truth, invites you. Don't think you have sinned too often or too severely, because God has buried your sins in the Good Friday tomb from which Christ rose on Easter Day in great victory. Blessed are you who eat the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, and eat it in his kingdom. Blessed are you who by faith hear and believe his gospel. Blessed are you who live in your baptism into Christ and daily confess and repent of your sin and flee to God in his forgiveness. Blessed are you who eat his life-giving flesh in his holy supper for the forgiveness of all your sins. And blessed will you be when, having heard the invitation of Jesus to come by his grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, you will have spent your life making haste to him and his life and salvation, and will have served him by serving those neighbors who have needs. And blessed will you be when you at last eat the heavenly banquet, as you sit with the King at his table above and remain in his merciful keeping. For he will raise you from the dead, body and soul, and he will show you in front of your own eyes what it truly and fully means to eat his bread in his kingdom, in the presence of unbridled majesty and glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord.